All right.
Well,
that was fun, everybody. I loved it.
That was fun, and I really enjoy this game. I
watched
a bit more than I should have, probably.
No, it was good.
I mean, like, there were a lot of things that, like, one, cake is not a part of any type of ritual in this game.
Oh, that's awesome, though.
Oh, really?
I decided that cake and, like, giving cakes to mages, but somehow it was kind of like the horror, like, cake or death. I literally was after watching him kill things. It was like, cake or death now. Like, you can either give the wizard cake or he may lightning bolt or fireball you or whatever, because they really are kind of scary powerful when you give them the chance. So I was like, cake. The three witches were just, you know, basically based on, you know, one part, you know, it was mostly just, you know, the Terry Pratchett sort of three witches. I love those, the witches from that series.
Oh,
sort of went with that.
Figured that.
Yeah. And so that was their thing. The Oracle, I wasn't very pleased with it, so I did decide to make it an eternal thing, that basically the old body has to die for a new one to be reborn, because there's always a constant nest of spiders. So I see no reason to kill off the Oracle, because it seems to be a very good sort of iconic creature to have in the valley. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem that it needs to, it doesn't really need to end. So that's why that sort of continues as my saying on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of other.
What was something super cool that we didn't do? Like, super cool that we didn't do?
There's quite a few, I guess. But I mean,
I didn't activate my magic sword for fucking episodes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to finish a few things. The thing is, like, one, the magic sword, the magic bow, they do not exist as far as this campaign is concerned.
Oh.
Those were devices that I created primarily because we need to make certain that. I got to a point where it's like, you know, it's not going to be very fun for listeners if we go so far and everybody dies, because we don't have enough players to get us over that edge with the encounter.
And Nathan certainly didn't give a shit.
Well, I was thinking, there was no need for Nathan to give shit because I was going to Monty Hall.
I
was crazy about the Monty Hall League, but I did that, you know. So, but that was kind of the reason why that. The other thing is the whole entire adventure with the tower by the lake, that was literally just randomly rolled. And I just began filling it in with stuff. And I mean, some of stuff came from obviously the adventure books from other adventures, as far as, like, you know, the was it the Tower of Starcatcher? Well, basically, if you're reading the Troll's Tower, there's a Troll Spire. It's a tower called Troll Spire. You guys never got to that adventure. And that's one of its alternate names and one of its alternate descriptions about it in the past. So I was using that to try and sort of, that's why there's like the Stargazer Tower. Me and Nathan knew it's a troll spire. And it was like, and the odd thing is, it's like the biggest freaking tower on the map, but it's like way up there and nowhere. And you guys just never got to it. And after a while, we're like, you know what? We're just going to go on. Because this has gone on long enough. Because there are a lot more adventures that you guys can go on.
How, if we had done everything,
There's the dwarven runes. There's
Load and the eye, the cave,
the dead eye cave.
Dead eye cave. There's a one with a manicore. Wow. There's the purple plume temple. I mean, I sent those guys I mentioned those adventures that the other party did, because those were ones we didn't do. Because literally there's so many that they have in this valley.
The other but better party than us.
Right.
If we ever get bored, it'd be super easy just to grab one of those things. Okay, drop us in. And
yeah, it's really that easy. You know, it's pretty easy to just do one of those adventures. And a lot of, they're really well written. It's just a matter of, it was like, we were just seeing which rumors you guys picked up on and going from there. And that's how we were doing it. And then after we realized, we're like, we keep doing this, we're going to be forever doing this. We better get those parts in there now.
It'll never end.
Yeah, early on, we decided that Malcolm would have two parts. I'd have two parts of statue, and then we split up the adventure site. So we were both like trying to sell you guys on the other person's adventures. After
I was not the best salesman. I obviously failed at that, but that was the thing. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, and there's like, I mean, like, and there, I mean, there were some things that, you know, like that randomly rolled one. I really went into a lot of detail just so it seemed like you guys wouldn't be able to tell too much from another adventure that was run, that was an actual one. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew it would have nothing really, except for just, you know, you guys would just be just character playing.
And I like that we that you did your own thing with that, because that's you know, just as far as you know, I think showing people how easy it is to create something.
It was pretty easy. I mean, like the guy's name and where you're encountering him and all that stuff is all just randomly rolled and just fleshed out, which is the system they have, which allows you to do that.
There's just a random roll the quest, the NPCs, the journey, the adventure. Yeah,
site. I really love the favorite one. What was the favorite one that you ran? Which of the adventure sites of the
I think published it was ones? Oddly enough, it was like the hardest one for the run, which is the village of the day before was my favorite one.
That was super cool. But
my most difficult one to run because the constant sort of repeating timeline. And I think I would have liked to have been sharper on it. Like, because you're coming back to it and starting again weeks later was always difficult to sort of get that same crisp feel. So I couldn't quite get that dog, that groundhog feel I wanted. And if you'd like, we haven't gotten to that episode yet, but when you do get an episode, I can record things again.
Yeah,
I think we should do little outtakes.
That'd be fun to do, like,
and just sort of do that because I literally came up with dialogue that they would have to say every day, because I remember that in Groundhog, you'd walk up and the guy would say, "Hey," the same thing over and over again, and just repeating it, and the reactions would be good. But that was when I really enjoyed running, but technically it was difficult. Obviously, next to that, it would be actually the randomly rolled one because it seemed mostly my adventure.
Yeah.
You know,
I really like the Roads End Inn.
That was a really good one.
Yeah. It was kind of scary. I kind of misplayed the, I was a little sad that the hag went down so easily.
That's the thing. Their bosses.
That was interesting.
That's what the bestiary.
Yeah, came. Then when you fucked us with the dogs.
The dogs were worse.
Yes,
I made a mistake with the dogs. The dogs are supposed to come out like one around, but I just set them out all on you at once.
Oh, of course, you did, Nathan.
But it would have been too easy if I did one around. So I'm kind of glad
I'm going to be honest. I like the Ritter Mound.
The first one?
The first one. Yeah, that was the first one.
I'm glad you liked that. I was terrified of how to pull that off, you know, because it sets the tone for the entire game.
Yeah.
It was the first adventure. And, you know, everyone's very comfortable and happy and then, in Outskirts. And it's like, this is their first adventure when they get killed them all. I mean, after all, we nearly died coming in the valley. So I was like,
The most dangerous thing in the game is water. We've decided.
Freaking dangerous thing. And God help you if it's cold.
Yeah.
Cold water is the death. Any party. I was just like, holy crap.
You know? What happened to that demon? Fell in the water.
It's dead. Fell in the water. It's dead. It's dead. It just died. You know?
Yeah. I'm going to make a heroic talent that is like a polar bear swim or something.
Polar plunge.
My God. So I am curious to see. I mean, like it's a fun game system. I did enjoy it. I am curious to see, you know.
Yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts? Chris, any thoughts on the game and your character?
I mean, it was a little fun. It was very crowded, so we didn't get to do much of the backstory exploring I think would have been better. But I mean, the world is a lot of fun. It's very simple to pick up, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by how
Or Tim.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, why don't you go?
I was impressed by how quickly combat went.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm playing in a different D&D campaign right now. I'm running a new D&D campaign right now, and I'm dreading combat because in that game we also have seven players and same as this one, but the rounds in this one were
really
fast.
This game is yet another, I mean, like this is once again, this is another system. This is a system that once again, I really like how the combat flows. The only thing I'd have is just the limit number to 10 makes it very difficult for me at times.
Yeah.
And I'm so
many players, but
yeah. And I play, because I play Savage Worlds, you have a lot more cards to use as far as your initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a lot of players and a lot of people involved, it sort of plays out a lot differently. But similar, we have the similar result though, regardless. But it's like, because there's only 10 cards, but otherwise I do like the way it flows. I like the way, you know distinctly where your turn is. You can change it by trading with someone else if you want to. And it's done, you know.
I was actually inspired by this game to add a house rule to initiative in the D&D 5th edition. The party can change initiative between players once, but only if those two players or those two characters are getting along in gameplay.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Nice little emotional manipulation there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad I'm kind of sad we didn't do more of the severe injury table.
It's just that we don't have a really good mitigating way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like it would have literally the first four adventures could have taken us out if we were really using it.
Mm-hmm.
And we only used it like once, I think. I only came up and we didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Corinne lost her tooth or something.
Lost a tooth and I lost two skill points. I lost skill points. So I literally had to make this up in the course of play, you know, and get them back, you know, as far as like their performance.
Is that something that just happened? Because I didn't play during that one, but did we just release that or is that the one
we're using? We just released it. And the other thing is there's ways to correct it. I think it's just a matter that we and Nathan have different views on that particular thing.
Yeah, I like the way
it takes away. But like, for instance, the cosmetic stuff could really be repaired. But the very fact is that's affected by the skill cost. But I thought, and my thinking was, then in that case, you know, I just have to run it back. But other things are much harder to do so. But I think if we had less players, I would definitely be using that. I know that sounds harsher, but it's like also it adds a bit more desperation considering the number. But the problem is you could have someone who's really affected by this and they don't end up showing up for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Because we're in and out. So it was like it's very hard to mitigate how that works.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Was Corinne always a traitor?
That's a good question.
Corinne became a traitor. No, she was not.
Okay.
She was not, because I was a player character for a while. But it was like, I think it was after the dogs and the hag.
Stair was her name.
I thought, you know, and it was really funny. It was like, there was some conversation that was being, I can't be certain. All I know is this. There was a discussion about a Leftovers episode talking about betrayals that didn't come up. It was an idea for an episode, but it didn't, you guys didn't actually, as far as I know, do it. But I thought, wouldn't that be pretty cool if there was a betrayer in this group? And I thought, well, I can't, you know, it's like, it's gotta be, you know, me or Nathan doing it. And it's like,
smart enough.
And I was like, it'd be pretty cool. But it's like, either Brains could be smarter than we think he is. And, you know, kind of thing. But
his Brains, hey, how about that Sathmog guy? I mean,
the tattoo was under the piece of wood.
But I thought, you know,
he's not so bad. He'll give us cheaper groceries.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know.
And gas will go down and eggs will drop. Whatever.
Okay. You're likely Misty Vale Lake.
That's Sathmog, boy.
That's Sathmog for you. But so it was like that.
Wait, discussion. We got another adventure. We forgot to burn all the executive orders. Shit.
Yeah. But that discussion that Sean and Matt were having about that, and sort of like, I said, that'd be a great idea for this campaign. But I guess, I said, it's going to have to be Corinne. But I thought, I don't really need to lay any clues. And I was like, I was thinking like, well, she already has this dislike for Nightkin, and the Nightkin are the ones who are definitely an active, organized force fighting Sathmog. Because the adventurers, we can take out one at a time as a cult. You know, we're kind of not the greatest at it, but, you know, we can do that. Her dislike for what's her name, I simply just dismissed as a competitor for Azeroth's, you know, favor. Like, literally, I can do a better job by actually being in the shit. Then you can be like staying here and sending people off and hoping that's precisely, you know, and even her original reluctance to even share anything only plays into her betrayal in the end. And the thing is, the one thing also is that sort of like, I figured that I was going to have this whole entire speech that he was going to do after, you know, but it was going to, it was have to, it was like basically, you know, the entire, you've brought them here, Savanta, good job. But it was like, it's kind of like, she had initiative, she did her thing, and then it was like, oh my God, they're hitting my ass. I have to, I can't be doing those speeches about you helping me. I gotta live. You know, so it was like, I just,
do you like your guys' advice at the beginning of the game where we have to use maneuvers and work together? We didn't do until the last fucking combat
episode. I think the initiative switching was probably the thing you guys did most common and is the most saving thing, because it's a mechanic that a lot of people are not used to in their game systems. I'm trying to think.
We've done it before.
Yeah, but I'm wondering.
Well, Alien.
Well, yeah. I mean, you do it in free league games, but it's like other games. They just don't. Because I'm even thinking like
I think you can do it in. Is it Starfield? Starfinder? Couldn't you switch? Or you do something? Oh no! It's maybe if it's you wait, but then that shifts.
It's like Savage World has a hold.
Yeah,
that you probably also encountered when you did that. Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Daggerheart has a free form initiative. Daggerheart,
where I think the idea that people are, you know, one is having initiatives that are a bit more fluid is one thing I like. I remember like with playing GURPS, it was pretty static. Once you determine what everybody's speed was, that's what it was going to be forever. Like literally, if I knew I was faster than Sean's character, I would always, every single combat, no matter what, always go before Sean's character. If we were both there, that was just the end of it. There was no, you know, and with D&D, you know, there was some randomness, but it was pretty much like if he had a high enough dex and was going to get this dex bonus, he was always going to go first.
Yeah.
You know.
And you take specific feats for that too.
You take specific feats for that. But like you had other games, but these other games, like the Free League games and Savage World, it's all fucking random. It doesn't matter if I move as fast as Mercury, you know, I can still go after old Granny if I don't draw the right cards in my initiative. Doesn't really help. I can get edges that will let me draw more cards, but this still doesn't mean I'm gonna be able to go first.
Yeah, Dark used his in the last combat where he kept his initiative guard.
And the veteran thing really plays out as far as like if you happen to have gotten a good initiative, you can use it again and then be like he did, just switch it out with somebody else to get them advantage. And if you keep doing it, it's really good as far as we need to get that book. And had she not been a betrayer, that would have been really great that everyone started off the whole entire combat. With a boon. And I was really kind of like, I was like figuring out I'd have to betray you later on. And I was like, oh yes, I get to do it for the start. Hooray, you know, kind of thing. But and that was, I mean, so I really like the initiative system of it. As I think I probably will need to look over the spells a bit more carefully. But in truth, they are very powerful. But I think as far as the willpower and you're gaining it is the biggest thing that's supposed to be the catch. And that's the thing. I think if we were a bit more sharp on having encounters.
I don't actually think that's as bad as you think it is. There's a spell in there that I should have been using more often where I could steal the willpower from the person as I'm healing them or steal the willpower from the bad guy as I'm lightning bolting them.
Yeah.
I can do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that just would have made Quivering even worse.
And the thing is like, you know, and so I'm curious and it's like, and I'm curious to see what the grimoire will hold when it comes out.
Yeah.
Mm. Because it's going to introduce a whole bunch of schools of magic, but it's like, the thing is like, but it's, you know, in truth, what's so funny is that they had plenty.
Yeah.
This basically is plenty. Like literally those three schools are plenty enough and have plenty enough diverse spells to make it fun.
Master Spellcaster, they should probably consider getting rid of. Because the ability to cast two spells in one round is just crazy.
It's frightening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it definitely makes you super. But
there's another mitigator that we have to keep in mind. One out of every 20 times you use a spell,
you can literally
turn into a bear.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing is like there's a downside to this, and there and it's kind of funny. So
you could turn into a bear and forget who you are.
The one thing I do, and it's my own sort of hang up is I'm not very good with. I've never been very good with random encounters, and I sort of forgot at times to roll random encounters. that would occur, because they basically have it set up that they have a random counter table for a particular area or a particular adventure, and it changes as far as what would possibly be in their area based on what dice you'd use in that particular region after a certain amount of time. And literally, most times you guys search the place and so forth, I could roll that. But I have never been a GM that liked random encounters, because it was always just a very conflicting thing to disturb the flow. Like, if you were making a lot of noise and you kind of were doing, yeah, you're going to get your track attention. But I was like, I don't really feel like doing that. And that's one thing that's one mechanic I sort of failed to use that would have added a bit more danger to everything. But I just didn't really. I mean, like, you guys probably could have encountered skeletons tons of times in there. And I was just like, huh. It's a whole combat that would drain away.
Yeah. Speaking of betraying, I got to go to bed.
Okay, betrayer.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's an issue. Maybe they just don't want to pay you free.
They're a team of craptastic assassins.
It's more work, you know.
They work for the mysterious country of Bulgistan. I don't know.
You know, Bulgistan. I like that.
Bulgistan. I like it.
All right, Malcolm. Hold it. This is Malcolm's time to write his fantasy novel. The new
chapter. Bulgistan is not a fantasy novel place. Bulgistan is definitely a contemporary or modern or science fiction place.
Erotic fantasy.
That too. Bulgistan.
Was then the great heroes came upon Bulgistan.
Its motto, peace or rise.
Okay. Towers, mushroom-shaped towers rising in the distance. Like, what the fuck?
Things are a-jiggling. In the right way.
In Bulgerville.
In Bulgistan.
Bulgistan. You guys don't remember Bulgistan?
No.
I remember the Bulgistan.
The capital of Bulgistan is Kaha.
Well, so Bulgistan was from one of Malcolm Super's games.
And it will be again. You guys will end up having to go to Bulgistan, the capital of Kaha.
That in the game with Emerald Fury and
Yes,
Dr. Redemption. That
this Bulgistan is the same world, so yeah. We open up on the road. The company, in good spirits, having parted with the orcs. Unless you guys want to do that part, we can do the whole parting of the orcs thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly just going to be quivering, having sex with her.
Quivering's going to have sex with them. We
tell your queen that we'll buy next week.
Okay, never mind.
So we talk about the vulnerable deaths of the year. Yeah,
reflect dialogue. If
oh, yeah.
I don't even have, should they win? Interesting. Anyway,
you didn't even take that note. It wasn't even possible.
It was like, if they lose, how to drag their bodies across and have her laugh over them. She plays a ditty. Okay, anyway.